the majority who were asked, should he be impeached? The majority said yes. Okay? Now, I want to say this to you first before going farther. Mr. Trump did not cause the wealth we're experiencing in America. I do believe he was God's vessel. But my Bible says in Deuteronomy 8 that God gives you the power to get wealth. Amen? But I'm tired of Christians telling me, I hate President Trump. I couldn't vote for him. He's a bad man. Well, wait a minute. Hold, time out, time out. Samson was a whoremonger. Yeah. God used him. David, the Bible says, had a heart after God, yet he committed murder and adultery. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that God, I'm a flawed man. And I'm standing before you preaching the gospel right now. And I have people tell me God can't use you anymore. Huh? God never uses a perfect vessel. The only perfect vessel he's ever used is Jesus Christ himself. Amen. And they nailed him to a tree. So my point is this. Don't look at what that man was. Don't look at him and say, I hate him because, you know, he's rough, gruff. He's not presidential. Let me tell you something. We've had a lot of presidential acting people in that office in the White House that hasn't accomplished near what he's accomplished in only 3 years. And here's the danger of that. The hearts of kings are in the hand of God. What's that mean? That means God controls the world's leaders. But in that gives me great hope. Because if the hearts of kings are in the hand of God, that means God has a plan, and old Slewfoot can't stop his plan. And with everything going on around the world, oh, by the way, Hungary now is starting to protest, and they're beginning to rebel against the global elitist and the left in their country. So England did it. Well, first it happened in America by electing President Trump. Then you had Brexit. President Trump, listen, this is why. President Trump, the hand of God is on him because his policies now are beginning to affect the whole world. And we're going to look at his speech he gave this week at the pro-life march, because we've never had a president that's ever spoke at the pro-life march. We had a president named Clinton that passed a partial birth abortion bill where you can pull a baby halfway out of the womb and then kill it. Anyway, we need to get in the Word. I'll do my best. Now, I won't be fast today. You just have to bear with me. Leviticus 19, I want to show you something. Because in all this, how are we going to, with everything going on around the world, what's God's people going to do? Leviticus 19. Verse 1. Page 155. Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you, we glorify you. Father, I pray for your wisdom, your anointing. I pray that you anoint ears to hear and hearts to receive your word this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Glory to God. And the Lord, or Yahweh, spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Let's read a little farther. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols nor make for yourself molded gods. I am the Lord your God. And he just continues all the way through this chapter telling them how they're supposed to act. First, he said, you be holy because I'm holy. Holiness, kadosh in Hebrew, conveys the idea of uniqueness and otherness, other than. God's uniqueness speaks of his holiness. In other words, God is unique. He's other than any other pagan god that's ever been worshipped. And it's God's moral purity that sets him apart and makes him unique. So when God tells you and I, you be holy because I'm holy, he's telling us we are to be unique. We are to be other than the way the world acts. Amen. We shouldn't be in a group of people and not stand out. I'm not meaning you're the guy telling all the jokes and making fun. I'm just meaning you're not the person that's taking a part in the dirty jokes at work. Are you with me? You're not the person that's talking about everybody at work you don't like. You're not taking part in that junk. You're not somebody that holds a grudge or doesn't walk in forgiveness. Amen. So he's a person who is holy, then we could say, lives life according to the word of God. Amen. Someone who lives according to the word of God is called a God-fearer. Amen. The Bible tells us to fear God, and that's not, you've heard me say this many times, that doesn't mean God's going to get me. It means I respect, I revere God enough to live my life according to his commands. Amen. Not a political party, but according to the word of God. Amen. All right, let me keep going. Dennis Prager, and I cannot remember the name of his book, but I will get it for you. Dennis Prager and Rabbi Daniel Lappin both said the same thing. They're both Jews, by the way. Still, the best hope for this world is for the Judeo-Christian values of America to triumph. The best hope for this world is for, what's that mean, the Judeo-Christian values of America to triumph? That America, remember President Trump has a slogan, make America great again? Now when I listen to that slogan, I'm thinking, what made America great to begin with? It was God. So to make America great again is going to restore the Judeo-Christian values that America was founded on. Amen. America to be a godly Christian nation. Wasn't it Obama that said America is no longer a Christian nation? Well, I tend to disagree with him. Amen. And it's beginning to happen. See, with all the upheaval around the world, you know, getting away, the people that are in England, the people in France, the people in Hungary, and other people in the EU, the European Union, you know, they're beginning to come awake. They're beginning to wake up to the truth. Now, if they're waking up to the truth of their government's policies, then they're probably being stirred enough for God to get back into Europe. I mean, Europe is a dark place right now. Has been spiritually for a long time. But if they're being awakened to the truth, in my little pea brain, I'm thinking, oh, if that's something God is doing, he's going to wake them up to more than just the truth about their politicians and their policies. He's going to wake them up to the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and there is only one way to heaven, and it's that, or only one way to God, and that is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, a man standing before you today preaching has great hope that revival's on the way. It's beginning to rain. What Elijah say, or Elijah's servant said, I saw a cloud about the size of a man's fist. It's about to rain. Oh, let me keep going. I want to dig deep in the next few months on what is really going on with all the stuff we hear about Russia collusion, impeachment. Why are there Muslims in our government? Why is there such a fight to keep the borders open? Why is there such a fight to have universal health care? What's going on with Brexit, the protests in France and Hungary? Why is Trump hated? Why is he hated? Because his nationalist populist conservative policies are influencing the world. What is a populist or a nationalist populist? You know, the left media, they said when they started describing Trump as a nationalist, they tried to say that nationalism was Nazism. You remember that? You ever hear that? Trump was another Hitler. Dictator. They call him a dictator. But a nationalist populist is somebody who believes in small government. Not big government. Small government. And it believes that the politicians are to serve the people's will. You with me? And that a nationalist populist is one who wants to put the power back into the people's hands. Amen? See, let me explain to you. Remember, the Supreme Court voted for same-sex marriage, right? Before it ever got to the Supreme Court, they voted in California, and the people voted same-sex marriage down. But a liberal judge, how he did this, I don't know. It's not constitutional. A liberal judge overturned the voice of the people. So a nationalist populist is not a Nazi. He's somebody that wants to return power back to the people of a nation. It's somebody who understands that government officials are working for the people and not themselves. So I want to clear that up real quick. Okay? Let me get back here to my notes. Now, in America, there's three different ideologies that's all competing for people. In America, three different ideologies. Well, actually, it's all around the world, but there's only three in America. But some of these are worldwide. One is an Islamist. What's an Islamist? Well, he's a Muslim. He is a Muslim who wants the world to come under the submission to Sharia law. Okay? So not all Muslims are considered an Islamist. Okay? An Islamist is the radical wing of Islam. Now, studies say, you know, that there's like 1.3 billion Muslims in the world. And at least a minimum of 10% of those are Islamist. Which is what? What would that be? 130 million? That's a lot, okay? The Islamist is somebody who doesn't care to strap on a bomb and blow the place up. Amen? Okay? Within Islam, there are several different groups within Islam. Just kind of like the Baptist church. There's free will. There's all kinds of Baptist churches, okay? Well, in Christianity, we have all different kinds of denominations. Well, within Islam, there are several different denominations. For instance, the biggest group of Muslims are called Sunnis, okay? In Iraq is mostly dominated by Sunnis. But Iran is dominated by a minority called Shiite. The Shiites are extremely, extremely radical, okay? In Syria, Assad, the president of Syria, he is what is called an Alawite. They are even a smaller minority in Islam, okay? But they're just as radical as the Shiites. You know, a Shiite at his core believes that he must make the world bloody enough for the Mahdi, Messiah, to come. And they also believe that Jesus is not dead. God's got him hid somewhere. And when he comes, when he comes with the Mahdi, he will then go into all Christianity and rebuke Christians, tear down crosses, you know, and all kinds of good stuff like that. See, how many know the devil is a liar? Okay, now, so we've got Islamists in America, and we've also got leftists. What on earth is a leftist? Well, a leftist believes government is the answer. The bigger the government, the better off you are. The government should tell you how to raise your kids. The government should tell you everything. Tell you where to spend your money. The government should supply your health care. Then they'll be telling you what doctor to go to, if you can get into a doctor. The government, the government, the government. But the left refers to the values associated with the Western welfare or nanny state. Have you ever heard that term, nanny state? The government. Believe in the government. Government supplies all your needs. Well, my Bible says that God supplies all my needs through Jesus Christ. Amen? According to his riches in glory through Jesus Christ. Let's see what else the left does. The left believes in secularism. You understand what secularism is? Let me explain it to you. Secularism is this. It's the indifference to or the rejection of religion and religious consideration. They are, a secularist is anti-clergy. They are atheist. They are usually atheists, and they believe in the removal of religious symbols from public squares. Remember Jackson, Ohio, they had to take out that portrait of Jesus that was in the high school, been there for 50 years. Adams County, they had to take down that monument to the Ten Commandments. No, not that I know of. So a secularist, which the left is, reject God and the Judeo-Christian values of America. That's a leftist, okay? Now, let me keep going. I'm not even going to hurry, even though in my mind I'm thinking I got to. All right, now, the left has an array of attitudes and positions, okay? From the Karl Marx theories to the contemporary Socialist Democratic Party of today. Did you know Karl Marx, his theories actually became the basis for communism, right? So the left agenda has a lot of, if you look in tight, bring the picture up close, blow it up so you can see better, they have a lot of communist attributes, okay? And we'll get into those later, all right? I read this one guy, one article said communism has been alive now for 100 years. And in communist countries, over 100 million people have died at the hands of their government. The Soviet Union exported communism to Eastern Europe, China, Cuba, North Korea, Vietnam, and Cambodia. Now, that's enough on the left. That's enough on Islam. We also have the American here, the patriot, the God-fearing patriot. Now, Dennis Prager, and I want to show you this, Dennis Prager broke the American values into three categories. Now, he's a Jew. He's brilliant, all right? And I thought it was, I thought that the way he broke it down was awesome. He breaks it down into what he calls the American Trinity. And you can find this American Trinity on your money. Okay? Now, don't get all uptight because I said American Trinity. Don't everybody think I'm, you know, teaching heresy. I'm going to show you what Mr. Prager said. Number one is liberty. Liberty. I got out a 50-cent piece last night, and right across the top said liberty. Amen. Liberty represents personal freedom. Did you know the left and the Islamists don't want you to be able to speak freely? They don't even want you to be able to come to church and worship God freely. Matter of fact, Mr. Obama said, if you got a business, you didn't build that business. I didn't see him helping my dad. Did he help you, Carolyn, build your... No, I didn't think so. I didn't see anybody on the left helping us build business. I seen everybody on the left trying to prevent us from building business. Over regulations, over taxes. Let me keep going. Liberty represents personal freedom. which is dependent. Now listen to what Mr. Prager said. Liberty is dependent on small government, a free economy, and a God-based Judeo-Christian society. Ooh, and I'm going to show you what Thomas Jefferson said later. Okay, so liberty represents personal freedom and is dependent on small government. Why small government? Because the bigger government gets, the more freedoms you lose. Now, the second part of his Trinity, also found on our money, is in God we trust. In God we trust. He said it represents a society that regards its liberty, its human rights, and its moral values as ultimately emanating or coming from God. Amen. Our liberty, our freedom comes from God. So therefore, it's in God we'll trust, not a donkey or an elephant. He goes on to say, these things were self-evident and unquestionable to those who founded America, including the so-called deist, such as Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. They said that America would fail if it ever became godless. So what's a deist? Well, a deist believes in a supreme being, but rejects the idea that this supreme being wants to get involved with man here on the earth. That there's no interaction. Yeah, he's up there, but he's disenchanted. He's not tuned in. I'm telling you, that is contrary to what my heart believes, what my heart has experienced. Amen? And it definitely goes against what my Bible tells me. Amen? Because God, all through this Bible, God has wanted to be with his creation. Amen? The third part of Mr. Prager's Trinity, also found on our money, is E Pluribus Unum. E Pluribus Unum. Originally, it meant out of 13 colonies, one nation. But it came to represent American values of a society based on neither ethnicity nor race. Now, America has not always gotten that one down. Matter of fact, we went through some difficult times trying to be one. Amen. And we're not perfect still today, but we're as long as God's involved in America, we'll keep getting better and more better, as that Cajun cook will say. Amen. Now, here's the question that Mr. Prager asks. Which of the three will produce better people and a better society? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out, do you? No, not at all. It's pretty clear. So now here's my job. We're going to begin to look. We're going to skip this one for now, and we're going to go right to the leftists, and we're going to camp out here for a few weeks. I want you to know what the left has been up to. And when you see it, you'll go, oh, I cannot believe I voted that way. Where have I been? Where have I had my head? We won't get into that. Now, one other thing. I was going to have Terry put that coexist bumper sticker up here, you know. You got the crescent moon represents Islam, and what all else is in that? What else is there? He's got something else to put up there. There's a cross in there. Oh, there's a Jewish star in that coexist thing. Can I tell you something? And most American, or a lot of Americans, don't understand this. These three here are not compatible. They are not compatible. They are diametrically, what is that word? Opposed to each other. They're not compatible. No matter how many times the left tells you to be tolerant, these are not compatible. And there's only one that can change a society for the better. All right, let me keep going. The American value of liberty is at odds with a Sharia-based society and with the left's material equality. What do I mean by that? Well, under Sharia law, you don't have any liberty. Islam means submission, submission to Allah. Okay? If you look at women in a Muslim society, they're all covered up. Debbie and I were in Michigan ministering one time. She come back to the room, she was hot. She was so mad because it was hot. It was in the summertime. It was hot, and there was a Muslim man in his shorts and his sons, and they were all in the pool, and his poor wife sitting there in 90-degree weather covered from head to toe. Seriously? There's no liberty in being under Sharia law. And the left, they're always wanting economic equality, material equality. So they want you to make your money and give it to somebody else. See, that's why our government is $22 trillion in debt. It's kind of funny how the left wants to blame that on Trump. You know, I won't get into those numbers. But if they're going to take your money and give it to somebody else, where's the freedom in that? I know I had a young man. He was with me. He was about 14 years old, and he had this phone. I said, "Man, where'd you get that phone?" "Oh, President Obama gave me that phone." I said, "What?" "Yeah, it's a free phone." I said, "That phone ain't free." "Yeah, it was free. It was free. It didn't cost me anything. It's free." I said, no, wait a minute. Let me explain how this works, okay? One of these days, you're going to get a job. And let's say you're making $10 an hour and you work 20 hours that week. Your check's going to be $200. How much you think that check's going to, how much you think you're going to get of that $200? "Well, I'll get all $200. No. Now, you're going to get about 60% of that. Being single might be a little less than that. I said, so they're going to take, what would 40% of that be? That'd be $80. You're going to get $120 out of 200. "Well, that ain't fair." That's the point I'm trying to make to you. Okay? The more stuff the left wants to give away, the more they're going to take from the working class. It all sounds good. Exactly. Somebody's got to pay for it. So that infringes, I believe, on our freedom and our liberty. Okay. Now, I'm not saying, you know, we have roads, we have infrastructure that we got to pay for. I'm not above paying our share. I am against overtaxation. Remember, our ancestors poured the tea in the Boston Harbor because of taxation without representation. Amen? And I'm telling you, if the left, every time the left gets in power, they tax us more and we're not being represented properly in Washington, D.C. He's on his soapbox now. Well, wait a minute. Let me keep going. This another part of the Trinity, E Pluribus Unum, is at odds with the left's multicultural society. Okay, E Pluribus Unum means one. Okay, the 13 colonies are one. We are anything but one now. I mean, the left has us so divided, you can't even talk because you got to be careful what you're saying. You can't communicate with people because you might be sued for what you're saying. And a man who's against same-sex marriage, he can't refuse to bake a birthday cake for a couple. And there's another case of that coming up. The one guy, I think they lost their case. But there's another one coming up where they refused to do that. See, they always taking your freedoms. Always. Let me keep going. In God we trust is at odds with the leftist trust in government commitment and their commitment to secularism and Islam's Sharia law. So none of the three trinities of Mr. Prager can possibly agree with Islam or the left. Now, let's look at what the left believes, some of what they believe, and we'll do this quick as we can. The left views of life is considered the only legitimate view. In other words, they're right and you're wrong. Okay? Their view of life is the only one you need. The news media and the universities embrace this worldview. They are right. You are stupid and naive. Okay? And they've infiltrated our universities, and our universities are putting out disciples of left-wing policies. All right. Leftism, whether you like it or not, is a secular religion because those who believe in its tenets often do so as fervently or even more fervently as religious Jews, Muslims, and Christians believe in their tenets of faith. I mean, they're radical. The left believes in a welfare state with the same passion that a Muslim believes he should fast on Ramadan. The leftist believes in the moral virtue of expanded government as deeply as a Christian believes in the moral virtue of ending abortion. I mean, I'm telling you, there's a book. I'm trying to think of it. You need to get it. It's called Worship the State. It's really, really good. But Prager's book is better. I've read them both. And I'm going to use those in another book called The Criminalization of Christianity. In this teach. Anyway, number four, leftists all around the world are passionate about secularism. Get God out of our society. Economic inequality, take from the rich and give to the poor. Do you know what? Christianity and wealthy people are benevolent people. We have not shunned the poor. You know, the hospital that I go to at Hozier, before Obamacare, they treated anybody, and it was based on your income. They didn't turn anybody away. So I don't know how Obamacare is working. I'm just saying that the wealthy have been benevolent. And Christianity is benevolent. So anyway, I'm getting off course here. Let me keep going. Leftists all around the world are passionate about secularism, economic equality, and a welfare state as much as Muslims are about Muhammad, the Quran, and Islam. Five. Like Islam, the left wants their values to dominate the world. Both Islam and the left have a globalist agenda. Amen? And have you noticed that the left doesn't allow you to speak negatively of Islam? And I'll tell you why in just a minute. I'm almost there. Because the left's worldview is so different from the American worldview, and because only an American worldview with Judeo-Christian values seems to stand in their way. The left is anti-American. They hate America and Israel. You see them burning flags. You see them wanting to boycott Israel. See, they're anti-America because an America founded on Judeo-Christian values is in their way. Israel stands in the globalist way. That's why they want to bring us down. That's why they, listen, people on the left, they raise a ruckus because President Trump moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, something that should have been done years ago. Presidents before him promised to do that, and nobody had the chutzpah to do it until he came along. Why is that important? Well, in Jesus' day, Jerusalem was the religious capital of the world. Then that capital got moved to Constantinople, which is now Istanbul. And it got moved to Rome. But now, I believe with all my heart, by the president recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, it's very symbolic that God now is reestablishing Israel as the religious capital of the world. Why would he want to do that? Because it was the religious capital of the world when Jesus came, and it will be the religious capital of the world when Jesus returns. Let me keep going. Trump's America presents the greatest barrier to the left's global agenda. As long as America is strong and neither Muslim nor leftist, both Islam and the leftists are allied in one way. They all hate America. Now watch this. A strong, godly America is a confident America. And when I look at our president, I see that confidence. Oh, he's a little rough around the edges. But let me tell you something. No other man could still be standing with the attack he has had on him if God's hand wasn't on him. You see this confidence in our president, not only here in America, but on the global stage. He is a threat to the leftist and Muslim global agenda. President Trump was not afraid to go overseas, talk to the NATO countries and say, hey, you're going to have to pony up your share. The American workers are tired of paying for your protection. It's about time you ante it up. Huh? The president was confident. He was confident in lowering taxes. He caught a lot of heat. The left said, you're just making the rich more wealthy. That's what they said. But now the facts are proving that from the bottom up, people in our society are doing better. I had a schoolboy on Facebook one time about trickle-down economics. Here's the way it works. This is what I told him. I said, I'm going to tell you something. I said, since President Trump has been in business, we have hired 9 drivers, bought $1.3 million worth of equipment. That's how it trickles down. It's not the wealth. It's a wealthy tax break, a corporate tax break, is not so the corporations can just hoard the money. It's so they can pass the money down, build the business bigger, provide more jobs, good-paying jobs. That's how trickle-down economics work. You know what? I'd rather take an economics class with somebody that's a billionaire than somebody who's just been laying in Washington, D.C. for 40 years and hadn't accomplished anything. Man, I'm more political than I ever thought I was going to be today. Let me keep going. I'm almost to my point. Here's our challenge. The challenges that we have in spreading our American values, those Judeo-Christian values. First, Islam and the leftist socialist secularism dominate many countries, while American values are only found here in America. No other country that claims to be Judeo-Christian and has such strong support for free markets and small government than America. There's nobody like us. This is why America usually goes it alone, with exceptions of Israel, Britain, Canada, Australia. But then they only jump in when they have a conservative in office. The second challenge is, neither Judeo-Christian nor individual liberty nor free market values are secure in America. Many leftists are hostile to Judeo-Christian values. That was seen in the taking down of Jesus and the Ten Commandments in Adams County. The left hates us. They really do. Why? Because they don't even believe in God. They want God out of society. Let me keep going. No one is teaching the next generation of Americans what constitutes the American value system or American exceptionalism. They take it out of school. They're not teaching it at the universities. The world's hope, according to Mr. Prager and Daniel Lappin, the world's hope is an America that is exceptional, or a great America, a godly America. Now, I know it's getting late, but you know what? I got just a little bit more, but I want to watch the president, and I want you to see his speech, just in case you didn't see it the other day. Are you ready? Because I can keep talking till you're ready. And I'll say this. The leftists believe life is absurd. They believe that there is no God and life is meaningless without the materialism in this world. In other words, that's all you got. There's no God, there's no afterlife, there's no reward, there's no punishment. You just got this material world. So have a ball while you're here, because you die and it's over. Therefore, and here's the problem with that. That makes the human fetus have no worth or no value. Okay? The left does not value life. And because they reject God and the wisdom of his word, that is why they come up with outrageous ideas such as, we got to get rid of all cows because they have gas. Let's make electric rail cars. We'll make one that goes all the way to Hawaii or all the way to Europe. Or let's pull a baby out of the womb and kill it while it's alive. They are void of wisdom. Let's watch the president, and then I'll finish. While you're looking for that, I'll finish, and then we'll watch it. I won't have as much to say. You got it? An error occurred. Okay. All right, I want you to turn to Genesis 9:6 real quick. Genesis 9:6. I want you to see something. Genesis 9:6. This is after the flood. And he says in verse 6, how many know that in Genesis 2, he says that they were going to create, God was going to create man, or man is created in God's own image. Amen. Verse 6 here it says, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. Amen. Now, keep that in mind and go over to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49.
It is my profound honor to be the
go
first
ahead.
President
we'll go
in history
49.
To attend the March for Life. We're here for a very simple reason, to defend the right of every child, born and unborn, to fulfill their God-given potential. For 47 years, Americans of all backgrounds have traveled from across the country to stand for life. And today, as President of the United States, I am truly proud to stand with you. I want to welcome tens of thousands. This is a tremendous turnout. Tens of thousands of high school and college students who took long bus rides to be here in our nation's capital. And to make you feel even better, there are tens of thousands of people outside that we passed on the way in. If anybody would like to give up their spot, we can work that out. You have a tremendous group of people outside, thousands and thousands wanted to get in. This is some great success. Young people are the heart of the March for Life, and it's your generation that is making America the pro-family, pro-life nation. The Life Movement is led by strong women, amazing faith leaders, and brave students who carry on the legacy of pioneers before us, who fought to raise the conscience of our nation and uphold the rights of our citizens. You embrace mothers with care and compassion. You are powered by prayer and motivated by pure, unselfish love. You're grateful, and we are so grateful. These are incredible people, to be joined by Secretary Alex Azar and Kellyanne Conway. Thank you. And thanks also to Senators Mike Lee and James Lankford, who are here. James, Mike. Thank you, fellas. And Representatives Steve Scalise, Chris Smith, Ralph Abraham, Warren Davidson, Bob Latta, John Joyce, Lloyd Smucker, Brian Fitzpatrick, and Brad Winstrup. Thank you all. And I have to say, and I look at it, I see it exactly, we have many, many more politicians in the audience, but if you don't mind, I won't introduce them all. All of us here today understand an eternal truth. Every child is a precious and sacred gift from God. Together, we must protect, cherish, and defend the dignity and the sanctity of every human life. When we see the image of a baby in the womb, we glimpse the majesty of God's creation. When we hold a newborn in our arms, we know the endless love that each child brings to a family. When we watch a child grow, we see the splendor that radiates from each human soul. One life changes the world. From my family, and I can tell you, I send love, and I send great, great love. And from the first day in office, I've taken a historic action to support America's families and to protect the unborn. And during my first week in office, I reinstated and expanded the Mexico City policy, and we issued a landmark pro-life rule to govern the use of Title X taxpayer funding. I notified Congress that I would veto any legislation that weakens pro-life policies or that encourages the destruction of human life. At the United Nations, I made clear that global bureaucrats have no business attacking the sovereignty of nations that protect innocent life. Unborn children have never had a stronger defender in the White House. And as the Bible tells us, each person is wonderfully made. We have taken decisive action to protect the religious liberty. So important, religious liberty has been under attack all over the world and, frankly, very strongly attacked in our nation. You see it better than anyone, but we are stopping it. And we're taking care of doctors, nurses, teachers, and groups like the Little Sisters of the Poor. We are preserving faith-based adoption. And to uphold our founding documents, we have confirmed 187 federal judges who apply the Constitution as written, including two phenomenal Supreme Court justices, Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh. We are protecting pro-life students' right to free speech on college campuses. And if universities want federal taxpayer dollars, then they must uphold your First Amendment right to speak your mind. And if they don't, they pay a very big financial penalty, which they will not be. Sadly, the far left is actively working to erase our God-given rights, shut down faith-based charities, ban religious believers from the public square, and silence Americans who believe in the sanctity of life. They are coming after me because I am fighting for you, and we are fighting for those who have no voice, and we will win because we know how to win.
Coming this fall, life was normal for the Campbell family until they got a wacky new maid.
We all know how to win. We all know how to win. You've been winning for a long time. You've been winning for a long time. Together, we are the voice for the voiceless. When it comes to abortion, Democrats, and you know this, you've seen what's happened. Democrats have embraced the most radical and extreme positions taken and seen in this country for years and decades. And you could even say for centuries. Nearly every top Democrat in Congress now supports taxpayer-funded abortion all the way up until the moment of birth. Last year, lawmakers in New York cheered with delight upon the passage of legislation that would allow a baby to be ripped from the mother's womb right up until delivery. Then we had the case of the Democrat governor in the state of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia. And we love the Commonwealth of Virginia, but what is going on in Virginia? What is going on? The governor stated that he would execute a baby after birth. You remember that. Senate Democrats even blocked legislation that would give medical care to babies who survive attempted abortions. And that's why I've called on Congress, two of our great senators here, so many of our congressmen here, and called upon them to defend the dignity of life and to pass legislation prohibiting late-term abortion of children who can feel pain in their mother's womb. This year, the March for Life is celebrating the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment, which forever enshrined women's rights to vote in the United States and given by the United States Constitution. Such a big event. Today, millions of extraordinary women across America are using the power of their votes to fight for the right and all of their rights as given in the Declaration of Independence. It's the right to life. To all the women here today, your devotion and your leadership uplifts our entire nation, and we thank you for that. The tens of thousands of Americans gathered today not only stand for life, it's really here that they stand for it so proudly together. And I want to thank everybody for that. You stand for life each and every day. You provide housing, education, jobs, and medical care to the women that you serve. You find loving families for children in need of a forever home. You host baby showers for expecting moms. You just make it your life's mission to help spread God's grace. And to all of the moms here today, we celebrate you and we declare that mothers are heroes. That's true. Your strength, devotion, and drive is what powers our nation. And because of you, our country has been blessed with amazing souls who have changed the course of human history. We cannot know what our citizens yet unborn will achieve, the dreams they will imagine, the masterpieces they will create, the discoveries they will make. But we know this: every life brings love into this world. Every child brings joy to a family. Every person is worth protecting. And above all, we know that every human soul is divine and every human life, born and unborn, is made in the holy image of Almighty God. Together, we will defend this truth all across our magnificent land. We will set free the dreams of our people. And with determined hope, we look forward to all of the blessings that will come from the beauty, talent, purpose, nobility, and grace of every American child. I want to thank you. This is a very special moment. It's so great to represent you. I love you all. And I say with true passion, thank you, God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you all. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I disagree with the president on one thing. We will win because God is on our side. Amen. Glory to God. Now, let me say this to you real quick and we'll get out of here. Jeremiah 1:5 tells us that before you were ever born, while you're in your mother's womb, I knew you. Isaiah 49 tells us that God formed him in his mother's womb. So as Christians, we believe at the moment of conception, God quickens that womb with life, and life begins. And it is God Almighty that is forming that life within that womb. Amen? So therefore, we do not believe as Christians in abortion. Amen? I have a hard time with people who say they are Christian, but they are okay with abortion. I'm so sick and tired of hearing politicians on TV who I know for a fact don't even believe in God, but they say, we're prayerfully considering this. Give me a break, please. The hypocrisy has no boundaries at all. So, with that said, I think it's important that we, as Christians, are educated and know what's going on in order that we can express that to the people around us. Amen. This I will tell you, the devil won't stop. The devil won't quit. He will keep fighting tooth and toenail. So God's people, we have to live holy before a holy God, and we have to seek God for our nation. Amen. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, amen, God will answer those prayers. Glory to God. It's not over yet. I believe, you know, I'm telling you, I am as excited about a worldwide revival as I have ever been. Maybe more so right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Y'all blessed? Amen. Bow your heads with me. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you and we magnify you. There is none like you. And Father, we lift up our president and this nation. We pray that you would protect our president, protect this nation. Father, continue to cause us to prosper. But most of all, Lord God, pour out your spirit here. Let revival begin to take place. Father God, I just ask you right now that you would pour out your spirit like you did in the book of Acts. And Father, we thank you and praise you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Well, we've